G'day. That's right. It's that time again. Time for cinema. Well, people might think it's funny, this thing about blood and honey, but ever since Sharknado disappeared, I've been looking for something that's quirky and fun. And Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, to some people, might have been too quirky, might have been seen as a cash grab. I thought it was quaint. I thought it was interesting. And just like with Sharknado, 2 came along and changed the game, just as Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2 came along and took it to the next level. I can't wait to see the third. The third has been announced. Bambi's been announced. Pinocchio. The Pooniverse is here. We're starting it. Hashtag power to the Pooniverse. You heard it here. Get it out. Hashtag power to the Pooniverse on Cinema Yuga. Today we're talking Blood and Honey 2, which was very, very coolly released by very own here in Australia, Umbrella Entertainment. Had a limited cinema release for those who got to see it in event cinemas or wherever it was screening. In your local area here in Australia, Umbrella Entertainment is doing the good work, bringing the Pooniverse down under. Hashtag power to the Pooniverse. And today we have some of the stars of Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2, Nicola Wright, Lila Lasso, and Nicola Farrell. Ladies, thank you for bringing the blood and honey to Cinema Yugen. Welcome.
Who's going first?
Go first, Nikki.
Hi there. I'm Nikki, or Nicola Wright, and I play Daphne Robin, which is Christopher's mother.
Christopher's mother.
Mm-hmm.
And Lila?
I'm Lila Lasso, and I play Jamie in Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2. I'm in the caravan, one of the caravan girls.
Ah, one of the caravan girls. And is it Nicola?
Hi, I'm Nicola Farrell, and I play Cara, who is one of Christopher Robin's friends.
Awesome. So I guess the big question, you've obviously by now seen the end result. How did you feel, having probably seen the sequel, seen the first one, and now having seen the sequel, how do you feel about Winnie the Pooh? He's not your tubby little cubby all stuffed with fluff, this fella. Hey?
He certainly isn't. He's about 6'2" or something, wasn't he, girls? I think.
Yes, very
tall.
Any time the flaming chains are involved, I'm interested. Hey,
I was very glad I wasn't part of that scene. That I can tell you, because that was practical. That wasn't CGI.
Okay. So they got petrol on the chainsaw and just lit her up and let it rip, eh?
They must have done. I mean, we weren't there.
Obviously,
three of us.
Obviously, something probably more incident friendly than that. I mean, that was.
Well, you'd like to think so, but I'm not sure. I think from the sounds of what Scott said, it was pretty scary for real to have been in that scene.
Yeah. No, I can imagine compared to the first film, the not only the body count, but everything you want in a sequel gets raised. I mean, were you all very satisfied, obviously, to see how much this, from one film to the sequel, how much this franchise has really taken a massive jump and just opened up, you know, potentially a door to a massive world. I mean, we have Bambi, The Reckoning, which has been teased. We have potentially a Peter Pan horror film. We have a more Winnie.
We definitely got a Peter Pan horror film. Starts filming in May.
Mm. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. So how do you all feel about being part of this, to use the word Pooniverse?
I find it really exciting. I think it's quite crazy. I'm not somebody who has ever like followed a lot of horror or like been the person, you know, I won't even go to like a haunted maze or anything or, you know, anything like that. I'm not somebody who likes to be scared, but like getting the script and reading it after knowing about the first one, I was really impressed with how much it had changed and like what they've done to like make the two coexist.
Mm.
I thought the twists were interesting.
Yeah, twist is really good.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And I was really surprised about, just what they've done to make it as big as it is.
Yeah, it's horror in its like, core, but I think there's like thriller elements to it, and I think it kind of always keeps you on the edge of its seat with the narrative as well as the kills now as well.
Yes, that's definitely what I felt coming into the second one, the prospects of where the story is going. I personally, on a personal level, I like this idea that they're sort of edging towards, because another particular property's fallen into public domain, which is the island of Doc Moreau. And I like the Dr. Moreauian sort of, how shall we say, threads that are hinted at, maybe, in this. Because
yeah, I mean, they're definitely crossing over the worlds a lot, and the hints are there in the second one, and then in Bambi there are little hints and nods that will link, and then that will develop more. Now that they know that the Pooniverse is going to happen, then the worlds will definitely cross over.
It's awesome. I've already ordered my t-shirt. I think it's fantastic. I'm a boy, say bring on the action figures. But listen, now, I mean, the film has been relatively widely seen now. There'll probably be a physical and a streaming release in the not so distant future. Part 3 has been announced, and of course the rest of the Pooniverse expanding. I guess one of the great questions that I've heard in some of the other shows and interviews with cast members of this, what was your coming away from the film, your favorite horrific, did you have a particular either horrific moment that you found yourself covering your eyes, or a part that you thrilled in?
I did. It was yours, Nikki.
I have to agree, because I've got an absolute thing about eyes. I literally, they make me go,
right.
So anything to do with things being poked in the eye,
right,
in any horror film literally makes me look away. I can't watch.
Right.
And, you know, spoiler. Mummy doesn't fare too well with the knives. So, yeah, I had to kind of look away, even though I knew.
Yeah. I often wonder that, even though you know, like, because you've been in the scene, or you've been part of the film, and you've obviously, you get to see it before most of the audience do. I often wonder that, if you know, because you know what's happening, you read the script, whether you still anticipate it or not when you're watching it.
Well, we don't know exactly how it'll cut, and actually the close-up of something happening, I mean, I don't know how much I'm allowed to say now that it's out. I presume
that's you can.
Knives and eyes and things.
Because there's probably a lot of people, because it did show in limited releases, probably still limited.
We can talk about it. Yeah. Well, they had to do a pickup of that and use a cast of my face.
Okay.
Because at the time, obviously, you can't actually do that. So they had about 5 eyes. So when I was watching that and watching, sort of like the face was like this and the knife was going up and then piercing the eye, and it was quite gross. So even though I'd seen it happen practically, still when it was on camera, I was a bit grossed out.
I screamed when we saw it at the premiere.
Did you?
I was screaming in my seat, screeching. And then when we went on our press tour in LA recently, just last week, I got back 2 days ago, 3 days ago. I watched it pretty much three nights. So I've seen it 4 times with audiences, and that every single time that scene comes up, I'm like this. Covering my eyes. I can't. That scene, I can't.
Yes. I know it's the brutality in this one is something that didn't just go up a level. I think it went up several levels.
It did. It did. The other one that I loved was Louise's one with Tigger in the Ray Hall, and it's
Tigger's the poor unfortunate soul. He's been caged for way too long.
Yes, and he's got to let that rage out.
I tell you what, if I had to pick a favorite, I really liked Owl in this movie. I'd like to see more. Yeah. I'd like to see Owl get his own like spin-off movie. He was
Well, he'll be happy.
He wasn't only creepy, but he was just too. There's wheels ticking in that birdman's
wise old head.
Bird Cooper's head. But how does it, since Sharknado finished, I've been looking for something that was sort of fill that gap. This movie comes along, this series comes along in a similar fashion where it takes relatively little money but takes a lot of big ideas. Do you think that this might, in the wake of this now and the success of this now, sort of force maybe producers and distribution companies to take a closer look at the things that are available in public domain for this kind of treatment?
You mean other companies, not...
Yes, yeah.
I'm sure. I'm sure if anyone gets a whiff of success, I mean, the Mickey Mouse one that's been trailered is obviously nothing to do with Jagged Edge. So you've already got one happening and there's others that I've heard about. So, yeah, I'm sure people jump on that bandwagon if they think that there's money to be made.
Mm. But I think that what is the great separator in once the genie is out of the bottle, so to speak, I think that this great separator is the attention to detail and also the wit that's employed in some of these. Because you could in many ways just cash off on this in conventional horror terms like Men in Masks. But definitely what they've shown here with the sequel is it is decidedly much deeper than that.
I mean, the story's definitely deeper and it is funny as well. I mean,
without a doubt.
It's a fun movie. But I think also what will set it apart from the others is the fact that now they have said about the Pooniverse, the fact that there are these links with hopefully one or maybe more than one film that will bring all the characters together. And so I can't imagine anybody else doing that because that really would look like they were copying.
Yeah.
There's only, you know, been one mention of a crossover universe like this one.
Yeah. And as it continues, do you see yourselves continuing popping up in one shape or another in the Pooniverse? Or is it a case in this universe once you're dead you're forgotten? It's not like some of those other ones where the characters keep coming back in some form or another in
I'd like to come back, but I'm not sure that's possible considering.
I don't think we can come back from the dead. I don't think that's Well, we can't. Piglet or, you know, they've got the honey, so they can, or Pooh, right. We've seen a hint of that at the end. They can.
Right.
But there might be some of the actors that you'll see in other ones, maybe as a different character.
Mm.
I mean, I'm in Bambi, so that's.
There you go.
Which was a completely different.
How did it play with audiences where you have seen it? The audiences here were very animated, which is unusual for an Australian audience. Usually they watch.
That's good.
Well, usually they watch it and then they go out and then they do all that outside. But I know in the States and the UK they can get vocal and applaud and sometimes be quite verbal about what they like and they don't like.
Well, you girls would know because you were out there.
How was it in the States?
Yeah. They do. They would clap and whoop.
Yeah. The reactions.
Bring them more honey.
Yeah.
Bring your.
Because obviously over in the UK, they haven't released it in the cinema. So the screening that we had was all cast and crew. So obviously we were whooping and cheering because we all loved it and we were all with our friends. But we haven't had an audience see it. They're not part of it.
Yeah. My 10 friends that I did bring to the premiere had crazy reactions and they went along for the ride for the movie. So that was kind of my indication of how everyone enjoyed it. And yeah, I think the American audience were the same where they enjoyed every ride of it. And I think the eagerness was there because they got the opportunity to ask questions about it as well at the end.
Yes.
They were like true diehard fans.
I reckon it's funny. Isn't it funny today how things sort of take off so quickly, and they either have that propensity to go either way. They either have the endurance and they stick around for, you know, however long or however fresh the ideas are that they're throwing out, or they're biodegradable, you know, like like fidget spinners.
Yeah.
You know, not to compare to a fidget spinner in any way, shape or form, but don't you feel, I mean, we're living in a very biodegradable culture at the moment where, you know, what's popular this week may indeed not be popular next week, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think with horror films as well, some just do capture the imagination and are either so outrageous or so gross or whatever, and they will become quite iconic, and they don't have to necessarily be the best made always. Although I think Winnie 2 is very well made. But, you know, if you think back to films that, you know, the first Evil Dead, for example, terrified me, but it was pretty cheap, but it still is an iconic film. And, I think Winnie's in that sort of, becoming quite iconic.
In the end with horror, don't you think, and this is a question for everybody, don't you think that it is not, as Nikki just said, it's not always just how much you spend on it, it's the effectiveness of what you use your budget for. Because I gather the first film was made for probably a quarter of what the second film was made for.
Oh, less even.
Less,
wasn't
less
it?
More. Yeah.
Less.
So you have to be, you have to be smart with all of your assets, be that cast, crew, effects, all that. How do you ladies feel about that, as far as, you know, with low budget films in particular, because they can't throw money at the problems?
I think when you go into making a low budget film, I think everyone is very aware that we have limited circumstances, but it's more about how you can explore that and how you can explore fun and like the craziness and like the flamboyance of that within that circumstance. And I think we're all like, I commend everyone within that project, because we all work hard to do that and give the consumer what they want and give that great final picture. So I think it takes a lot of commitment and a lot of like a joint union on everyone trying to achieve a greater goal.
I think also Scott and Reese are masters at making a very low budget film look as if it had a lot more spent on it. I mean, I would, you know, if you watched Winnie 2 and you didn't know anything, even at $1 million, that would have been low budget. And it wasn't anywhere near $1 million, but it looks like.
Oh, yeah. Know, yes. Hands down.
They are the masters of making something look good or not a lot.
Yeah. Oh, the proof is in the honey. Because
and also you've got Vince, who's just the most incredible cinematographer. So you couple, they're such a good team together that they really, they do make it look as if it cost millions, to be honest.
I know. It was such a jump up. I mean, having come to the first one mainly with curiosity, I left the second one with great joy. So I can only imagine where the third one and for goodness sake, Bambi and Pinocchio. Who else? We got Peter Pan. Yeah. I thrill at the idea of a demonic sort of Tinkerbell or something like that. Or, you know, some sort of savage Captain Hook-like character the possibilities are endless. So Blood and Honey 3, you know, you mightn't be in it, but where do you see, having been in 2 and seeing how big 2 has come across, is 3 only going to, are they going to try and top it with 3 again, do you think, or deepen the story?
I don't know. I mean, it was only announced last week, wasn't it? So the week before. So it's very early days.
Just your own hypothetical.
Yeah, I'm assuming there'll be characters in it that they've hinted at that you haven't seen before. That will be an addition.
Mm.
And yeah, I think, you know, a lot of the backstory to the whole thing was obviously introduced in the second one. And I think there is room to deepen it, to be honest, mm. find out.
Because mm. that might be the way to go. Hey, I mean, you obviously these gentlemen filmmakers are very talented visually, and they can push the edge like visually with very little money, and they've proved that. But I think that there'd be great value in expanding it as far as depth
mm.
of character and complexity, don't you think?
Yeah, I do. I think they probably will. I mean, between them, although neither of them wrote it in the end, it was very much their idea.
Mm.
And Scott's written Peter Pan, hasn't he?
Yes.
So they're, and he's written, and so has Reese. Lots of
directing
bits in the past, and he's directing it. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
That was a great.
So. Hmm.
That was a tremendous tease. Do you see Bambi flip? Is it Bambi that flips that car with its horns?
Yeah.
My goodness.
I know.
My goodness. Oh, dear, as they say.
Oh, dear.
The tagline for it, oh, dear. No, but ladies, I really, really loved Blood and Honey. I really, really love Blood and Honey too. The possibilities are so tantalizing, the lengths of which it could go and the depths to which it could go are very, very tantalizing. It has been a real, real honor and a privilege to have you on Cinema Yugen. Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2 was released and will be released by Umbrella Entertainment here in Australia eventually on digital platforms and hopefully physical media wherever we can get out and support that. My guests, the lovely Lila and the Kayla and Nikki, it was tremendous to have you all on the show. It was tremendous to talk about Winnie the Pooh, that bad little bear. He's definitely not Ted, is he? There's no wisecracking with Pooh. He's all about business.
Yep.
It's all about that.
He's the strong, silent type.
Yes.
I tell you, did you like the bit? I love the lair that looks like where
the lair, yeah, great.
Posse hangs out.
Yeah.
Did anyone there here get to see the set?
I did.
Yeah, I did as well.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was incredible. I couldn't believe that they had done that. I remember they were like, go look in there, go look.
Yeah.
And I poked my head and I couldn't believe how big it was. I was afraid to go in there because it's so menacing looking.
It's actually bigger than you see on the film.
Okay. Yeah, isn't
it? Mm, it was really long.
So sound stage or some sort of space?
No, it's on a sort of, not really a farm. What do you call it, Lilo? It's like the woods where.
It's an old barn.
Yeah.
Hold on. Okay.
Yeah. In the area where they had the woods. So where they filmed the 100-acre wood, there's a big old barn and
well, that's good. That's practical. But it was really cool. I kind of wish there were more. Well, wait to see more if there's gonna be
maybe Winnie 3 will reveal more.
Yeah. And like I said, I definitely like the idea of Al doing a bit more. He seems like he's the brains behind the posse. This sort of thing. So that's very intriguing. But I've been very, as I said, very blessed to have the lovely ladies of Blood and Honey. Power to the Pooniverse, we say.
Absolutely. That's the new hashtag.
But hashtag power to the Pooniverse, buddy.
Power to the Pooniverse. I like it.
He's a hard bear, big bear, mad bear. Going to take on the world someday. He's got blood on his face, honey on his shirt, waving his piglet all over the place, singing, we will rock you. Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2, released by Umbrella Entertainment here in Australia. It did play in limited release on the 27th, 28th and 29th of the month, but we're looking forward to a digital release and physical release and also the release of Bambi, Blood and Honey 3, Pinocchio Unhinged, Peter Pan in his nightmarish Neverland. He's the reason why people don't get old in Neverland. The Lost Boys probably eat everybody once they get over a certain age. It's like a brutal version of Logan's Run.
That's so true. I love that film.
But Michael York, he's still kicking. God bless him.
He is. Yeah.
I saw that.
Soylent Green was another one that was similar.
Soylent Green.
Remember? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, with Chuck Austin and...
Yeah, yeah.
Wonderful movies, as was Blood and Honey too, a wonderful movie. Ladies, thank you for taking part in it. Thank you for taking part in Cinema Jugend, and Cinema Jugend wishes you all the best with your future film endeavors, albeit horror or whatever you choose to go into, deeper into the Pooniverse, maybe, for some. I love that. That should just, I think that will be the t-shirt, obviously, the hashtag power to Pooniverse. Who would have think we've been talking poo? I never thought I'd be doing a show where I'd say get to say poo quite so much. and have it be charming.
My four-year-old grandson would think that's marvellous to keep saying poo on certain times.
I know. I should have got a sponsor from like a laxative company or something. And now a word from our sponsor. If you're having trouble with your poo, don't go to the 100 Acre Woods. Take these and call me in the morning. This has been Kurt Hill of Cinema Jugend. Thank you, ladies. Signing off, any final thoughts on Winnie the Pooh?
Just go see it. Have fun. Or if it's finished in the cinema, make sure you get your DVD when it comes out, because there'll be extra bits in it.
Extra bits, yeah. All of extra features.
And to anyone who's watched already... there'll be a director's cut.
Yeah.
And anyone who did watch it, thanks for the support.
Yes.
I think we all appreciate it. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I vote for more films like this, more not just low budget horror films and franchises, but all independent cinema, to be lucky enough to not just get a limited engagement, but any engagement at a theater near you, to give the audiences a chance to come and see that. You don't have to have hundreds of millions of dollars to invoke excitement, entertainment, and to stir up the blood and honey in us.
Yes, Jagged Edges production of Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2, distributed by Umbrella Entertainment. Hashtag power to the Pooniverse. I absolutely love this. I can't wait to see more. I can't wait for the Pooniverse to explode, expand, whatever it's going to do. My thanks to Nicola and Nicola and Leela for being wonderful guests. Hashtag power to the Pooniverse. Get over. We're going to put a link to the website so you can get all your blood and honey goodies. There'll be much more on the way as the Pooniverse expands. So there'll be lots of cool stuff, hopefully, for fans. We can't wait to see how it goes, to see how it grows in the 100 Acre Wood. He's got honey on his shirt, blood on his face, waving his piglet all over the place, saying, we will rock you. Hashtag power to the Pooniverse. Jagged Edge Productions, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2. Can't wait for the physical media release, and we can't wait for the expanding Pooniverse. Hashtag power to the Pooniverse. Meanwhile, ladies and gentlemen, check out the links in the description, and thank you for supporting independent cinema here at Cinema Jugend. I'm Kent Hill, and thank you for listening to us on Spotify or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Until then, next time, that is, we'll see you again. So stay cool, watch cool movies. Cinema Jugend.